reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. Lest I forget it, right after the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to be talking about a variety of issues today, but they have a couplet, they have a coupling with these issues. We're talking about today an issue that I believe we need to recognize that God still answers prayer. Christians and conservatives are finding relief through some of the courts. Christians and conservatives finding some relief. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news recently. It's been low profile on some of the Communist Network news outlets, but the Supreme Court's made several recent rulings that I believe are as a direct result of Christians praying in America. I believe that is the end result of it. In fact, I'm looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and following. I exhort thee, therefore, first of all, that word first is the word protos, priority, number one, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and in honesty. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing some end results, I believe, of constant prayer. Listen, I understand much of this is because of who's in the Oval Office. I understand that much of the decisions now of the courts are as a result of some of the executive orders of Donald Trump. I recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that the current has changed, the winds have redirected, and the hope for the future is at least brighter than it was under the Obama and Biden administration. As we look at what we're seeing today, some light at the end of the tunnel, as some would call it, and it's not the train coming at you. Now, we'll forget many years ago, I had a scenario that we're dealing with from the legal perspective, and I said something to the attorney that it looked like there's light at the end of the tunnel. He said, no, the light you see is the train coming. I'm not talking about a train coming. I'm talking about we're seeing light at the end of the dark, dark tunnel. Our Christian liberties and values have been under constant open assault during the Obama and Biden administration. We witnessed full open assault against morals and ethics and values in our nation for some, what, Obama administration 8 years, Biden administration 4 years, not counting the brief blip on the radar with President Trump in his 4 years that was negated by suits and lawfare that prevented him from carrying out what God had placed him there for. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you also that according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and following, God created civil government, not man, not the magistrates in charge, not the power brokers in the Beltway in Washington. God created civil government. Now, we can call it politics if you want to, but God created it. at Romans, the 17th chapter. Now, I'll not take time to read it at this point, but in the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7 in Romans, we find very clearly that God created civil government to prosecute evil and to protect good. And listen, if you're not aware of it, under the Biden administration and the Obama administration, that was absolutely reversed. We watched under the hand of Autopen Biden and Sleepy Joe Biden and his entire administration an open-handed slap in the face to Christians, conservatives, and patriots for 4 years. And some of those tentacles are still far-reaching. Some of those tentacles are still active today. But we're witnessing a breath of fresh air in some areas. And I'm encouraged by it because we're in an election year. Some of the things we're seeing coming out of the Supreme Court with a couple of rulings just recently, with a 6-3 ruling, I find it inspiring, inspirational, and if you please, a good sign of correctiveness going forth in our nation, especially in the realm of election and going toward the election. So let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face these issues, we do so just as I have admonished us for many, many years, is that we face the issues, we look at what's happening on a national, international, global, and local basis through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? We look at the Scripture, we see God at work yesterday, today, and in the future with a result already pre-printed, pre-written for us to understand what God's doing. As we look at the world events through the prism of the Word of God, we understand eschatologically, prophetically, what God's doing. We understand what is taking place in the Middle East as we look at the Scripture. We understand what's taking place with Russia and China and North Korea and Iran and the wars that are taking place based on the authority of the Word of God. But we can also, ladies and gentlemen, look at the tide that is presently turning against the system that has placed the Christians and conservatives and patriots under the thumb of dogmatic dictators, yes, dogmatic dictators, loose likes lost liberals, and authority in the DOJ and the FBI and the Oval Office during the Biden administration. We're finally seeing some reprieve from some of those decisions, and some of those reprieves are coming out of the Supreme Court and other court rulings. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. In John 8:31-32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Let me pause for a moment. Ponder that. The truth of the Lord endures forever. God's word doesn't need revision. God's word doesn't need rewriting. God's word doesn't need modification. God's word doesn't need 100, 200, 300 different variations of it. The truth of the Word of God stands forever. Ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we're witnessing that today. In fact, we'll talk about it further in the broadcast, but after one of the Supreme Court rulings that gives relief at the ballot box across several of our states and others still in the offing to make changes in their district maps for election and for determining the representation for their states, Hakeem Jeffers and a group around him challenged it and said it's Donald Trump's Supreme Court. It's no longer a legitimate court, etc. And they'd already said 2 or 3 weeks ago that if they take control of the House and the Senate in November, they're going to make D.C. and Puerto Rico states, and they're going to put 13 members on the Supreme Court. In other words, pack the court, bring in additional delegates that will be voters for the blue states or the socialist, Marxist, communist left called the Democrats. And yet now when truth is revealed and when the Supreme Court makes a ruling that is not in their favor, all of a sudden the Supreme Court is bogus. Supreme Court is bad. Supreme Court is illegal. And yet, many, many times with the Biden administration and the Supreme Courts and the appeals courts voting in favor of that which is immoral, ungodly, unholy, unjust, and Christians and conservatives had to hang in there and, if you please, be sustained even through it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the need for truth today. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a statement that I believe is fitting for our introduction today. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The Tools for Time knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road, with an identifier, a benchmark on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. One more moment, ladies and gentlemen. We'll open our telephone lines. We've got several waiting. But I want to say this in respect of what we're going to talk about today. We have witnessed, ladies and gentlemen, in the past 4 years, not recent 4 years, but the Biden administration in particular, an open persecution of Christians and churches, open persecution against those that believe in a right to life, with the pushing of abortion, pushing of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, the Biden administration pushing in every department of the federal government, including the Pentagon, the Department of War, as it is called now with Pete Hegseth as the secretary. He was pushing for the DEI. He was Biden pushing for having the transgenderism in full play, open display, forcing it on every department of federal government across the nation. Transgenderism was openly embraced by many American organizations and companies and big box stores and professionals simply because it was the end thing to do. But now, ladies and gentlemen, the tide is turning. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the courts making rulings in Colorado and Oregon and Washington State, in Virginia, in Louisiana, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's protecting our voting rights and protecting Christians in their stand against the open-handed slap in the face because we stand for morals and ethics and values. That's what we're talking about today. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to say that I believe that these things are coming about because of Christians praying and Christians asking God to intervene and give us relief over these tyrannical events that have been taking place in the previous administration. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Hillblood. I thank God for what's happening because I was scared that the Supreme Court would let these people, I call them the Democrats, changed so they could get all the seats in the House.
Kenneth, you're exactly right, and I was vitally concerned about it. At the same time, realizing that God is still sovereign, God's still on the throne, God's not asleep, He's not on vacation, as it was claimed by the liberals in the 60s. God's not dead; He's still well alive and well able to handle this old world. And it's just like you're talking about. We had the fruitcakes in Virginia under the communist governor in the state of Virginia that forced through a bill that changed their constitution, which was illegal on the face of it, that would allow them taking 11 districts and 11 representatives, making all of them but one Democrat, so that they could control the House and the Senate in Virginia and try to control the votes across America. Fortunately, the local court stopped it. Fortunately, the Supreme Court and the state of Virginia stopped it and said, you can't do that. It's illegal. And so I believe that's the answer to prayer. I believe God has intervened with that. And I believe God is showing us the power of prayer if we'd simply depend upon Him and ask Him to intervene. I know, I talk about all of these things that are happening, what is taking place. Sometimes we all fail to recognize God is still on the throne. God is still in control. So, Kenneth, I am thankful for you, brother. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Our lines are filled with others, so I'm going to take them. But thank you so much for calling today, and God bless you. I believe Tim is on the line. Tim, go with the question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. I had the wrong name there. It's Jim, not Tim, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I was kind of hesitant. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but what I've seen through administration after administration, and I could take this all the way back to Carter, is that an implementation of law or making of law by a Republican with a good cause, then when Democrats come in, they turn it around. And I'll give you the best example was Bush 41 during and after September 11th there. They passed the Patriot Act. Well, the very next administration, which was the Obama administration, used that very act against a running candidate in the name of Donald J. Trump to spy on his candidacy and his election process there and his team. You know, and then we look at it that Trump got in and then we got a break and he started doing some laws that were beneficial to Christians. And then Biden came in and they completely ignored everything. They were using the very same system where the FBI was actively running disinformation, and malinformation against people that were standing in school boards saying they didn't want boys in the girls' locker room. They were infiltrating Catholic churches and churches to say these members were Christian nationalists. So what I'm afraid of is that there's going to be a sense of complacency this coming midterm, and if the Democrats even get a slight majority in there, they will lame duck Donald Trump for his last 2 years, and they will do everything they possibly can outside of the current litigation that they're bringing against every single executive order, every single initiative that Donald J. Trump or the Republican Party brings. And then we've got people like Thune who absolutely disregard things that the American public wants, in example, the SAVE Act. So I'm grateful and I thank God for all of these things there, but I know that the Democrats, being the party of wanting power, will do everything they can and commit every crime they can or sin that they can to put themselves back in, and then they will turn it all on us.
Absolutely. Jim, you're exactly right, brother. One of the things that I've said for quite some time now is we're witnessing President Trump doing what I believe is right. I believe it is because God is directing him as to what would be done. Not that I believe President Trump gets up and says, Lord, what would you have me to do today? I don't think that is the level that he's at this juncture, but God is directing him, I believe, in a way that God will have America to go. But we have the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats on the left that's already made the statement boldly that they're getting ready, preparing the documents as we speak to persecute, and to impeach Donald Trump time they win the position of leadership control in November of this year. They're bragging about that. And now what is taking place, and Hakeem Jeffries has his hair on fire. Hakeem Jeffries is showing his absolute foolish stupidity when he stands before the Marxist media and starts screaming about this is a Donald Trump Supreme Court. Supreme Court is now just doing what Donald Trump says, and yet they've been bragging about the Supreme Court when the Supreme Court ruled about some of the things on the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, the abortion agenda, the agenda to do transgenderism, etc. It was a wonderful Supreme Court then, and now there's all of a sudden, we need to change it, we need to pack it, etc., etc. So I'm in agreement with what you're saying. I believe that we need to find all that Trump has done by executive orders codified through legislative action so that it cannot be immediately reversed. Spamberger, the Virginia governor, time she went in, all that Yorkin had done for 8 years, Youngkin had done for 8 years to make things right in the state of Virginia, she reversed in 24 to 48 hours after going into office, and then tried to railroad the system so that it would guarantee Democrat control for the House and the Senate of the state of Virginia. So I'm in agreement with what you're saying. The point that I want our listeners to understand today, there's a modicum of light at the end of the tunnel. There's a modicum of relief that we're witnessing today. So I want us to understand, as Christians, we need to keep praying, say thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for intervening, and at the same time, God, give us the victory in November. I've said before, and I say again as I let you go, Jim, I believe this is an election year that will make the determination, the destiny, and survivability of the United States of America. If Christians fail to vote aright in November, we will have lost the Constitutional Republic that God has so divinely given us, and we're celebrating 250 years of it right now. So I pray that God will speak to the hearts and the lives of people. Go ahead.
As you've often told the audience and me as well there, I already know who wins in the end.
Yes, absolutely. That gives the victory in my heart.
Yeah, so bring it. Bring it all.
Absolutely. We need to keep praying, keep looking up, and recognize that God is still on the throne. God is still in control. But we as Christians have dual citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven and here on earth. And as good citizens, we need to vote. We need to vet the candidates. We need to be involved in the preservation and the protection of the liberties and the values that we so dearly hold in the United States of America. Jim, brother, thank you
Amen.
So much, God.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you and have a blessed day. I believe Woody's on the line. Woody, go over the question and comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. Welcome back. There's no such thing as coincidences. Yesterday, I was standing by to call your program at the very beginning to make the statement that, among other things, that as Christian soldiers, we must push back against the present evil that's being manifested with prayer. So I was disappointed that you weren't there, but no coincidence. I'm going to say now what I wanted to say yesterday, which is exactly on topic what you're talking about. I have a military background. I've been involved in hostile operations for most of my career. I never pulled a trigger or fired any kind of weapon in anger. I was always the target in a big silver airplane flying into places like Beirut, Tehran, Saigon, Da Nang, places you're familiar with. I was the target, and we're targets as Christians today. There's no doubt about it. We are huge, huge targets. But the point that I want to make very clearly, and then get off the phone, let these others talk, is that as Christians, we have an obligation not to say, well, you know, God's in charge. Yeah, he's in charge, but we have a responsibility right now. That responsibility is first to preach the gospel in season and out of season.
Yes.
And we're not doing it. We don't do it because we don't know the word of God, and men have become so feminized in their thought processes that we're a kind of useless Christian pacifist. It's time to be righteously angry and to push back. Here's how we push back, and it's exactly what you're saying right now, and we're seeing it work in our country. We must be on our knees, and we must pray, but let's take it a step further. You remember President Nixon had an enemies list, okay, and he was derided for that. Every Christian needs an enemies list. If we don't know who our enemies are, we're not a military. Every military man must know his enemy, how he deploys his forces, how he spends his money, who his allies are, all those things. We as Christians must actively be involved in watching the news every day to know that people like Chuck Schumer and Talisha Tlaib and AOC and even others worse than them are bona fide, absolute, unquestioned enemies of Christianity and of America.
Yes.
Because right now, America and Christianity are faithfully linked together. Every Christian must have a list. I'm going to start with 10 people. 10 people. And you, Father God, I ask you in Jesus' name not to kill this person so that they end up spending eternity in hell. I don't want that to happen to anybody. I ask you to break their leg if necessary, or whatever you've got to do to get these hateful, anti-God, because that's what they are. They hate Trump because he represents a form of in behavior of Father God. They hate yes. God, they hate Trump, and they hate Christians because we remind them of that all the time. Take that list, take that pace, pray specifically by name, and believe me, I do what I'm recommending right now. Pray against people and institutions of the enemy. Build an enemies list and pray that list, and that's all I got to say.
Well, Woody, you're exactly right, and I'm in full agreement with that. I find it intriguing, and I find it at the same time exciting to realize what is taking place and understand that factor. I'm looking at a headline that says, there's now an explanation for the state of Colorado's agenda to discriminate against Christians. There's an explanation for this, according to this writer. In recent years, especially since homosexual Governor Jared Polis took office nearly 8 years ago, the state repeatedly has attacked Christians on every hand. And it goes on in a list. It talks about attacking the bakers, those that are flourished, those that are in Christian business and ministries. And it's this article says, it costs the taxpayers in Colorado, through their Supreme Court, millions upon millions of dollars of wasted tax money and legal expense just trying to persecute and prosecute Christians. And now it has come to light that that is being recognized. It says here, the reason for that, it's simple, this writer says, because liberals in Colorado believe that Christians deserve what they're getting from the state of Colorado. There's the mindset that across the nation, Christians deserve to be persecuted. Christians deserve to be prosecuted. Christians deserve to be put on a, how would you say, an enemies list. Because when Christopher Wray was in the FBI and Merrick Garland in the DOJ, they were tools in the hands of Obama and Biden to persecute and prosecute Christians. In fact, the FBI had put out a 32-page document sent to the DOJ to put into effect so that any parent standing before a school board challenging the sodomite agenda in the school would be counted as a domestic terrorist. So we're seeing those layers of the onion being peeled. We're seeing those things change, being changed, and I'm thankful for it. And Woody, one other thing before we let you go. What are your thoughts on the Supreme Court's ruling with the district changes in Louisiana and other states where they're basically saying you can no longer gerrymander in order to have a black district, that it must be racially blind and it must be so that it's equally divided for your state's votes? That is absolutely a shockwave across America through the hearts and the lives of the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats. What are your thoughts?
It's a three-letter word, D-U-H. Duh. This is part of the American process. This never should have. You'd given me more reason to want to be very kinetic, which I shouldn't be, against Democrats. I'm an angry dude. I tell you what, I'm fighting these things inside. Let me make a quick comment about Colorado. May I do that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, here it is. I'm not surprised about Colorado. I spent a little time out there, and that's probably one of the wealthiest states in America per capita. I call it the Aspen complex that many Coloradans, or most Coloradans, have. They live a life of skiing, okay, and vacationing and other things. There's a lot of wealth in Colorado, and wealth produces liberal people. Mm-hmm. And Colorado is as stinking liberal as it can possibly be, even more so probably than California or New York or New England. And I'm not surprised it's the vanguard for pushing back against Christians. They hate Christians for what we stand for. We're in their way. I think every person who lives in excess has some degree of self-doubt and conscience whim that they want to justify. It's okay to do what I do and have the money to do it. Well, if God blesses you, so but God calls us to a simple life, honestly. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 through 9. We'll answer that pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Woody, our time is up for this portion of the broadcast, but thankful for you, and thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today. Christians and conservatives are finding some relief, a modicum of relief. What say you about some of the Supreme Court rulings? What say you about what is taking place in our courts and our redistricting of the votes for the votes in November? Thank you so much for joining us. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM.